Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Audie, and we're the Politos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about representation in kids' TV shows. So, how was your Halloween?
It was good.
Yes.
It was good. Actually really good.
Yeah.
It didn't rain, which was perfect.
I know. It's been raining, like, ever since Halloween, like, after Halloween.
And yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool that on that day it was pretty dry
and I know.
Nice. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
We did a lot of walking, right?
We did a lot of walking. My feet hurt so bad at the end of the day.
Yeah, the girls. So we have two girls and they were the ones that dressed up and got all the candy and did they walk too. So they walked a lot. So yeah, they were both tired at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was pretty fun.
It was really fun. They got a ton of candy.
Yeah, I was so surprised that actually their bucket that we got from Target, their bucket was almost filled to the top.
I know, and it was a big bucket.
It was a big bucket, too.
Yeah, and they got some, like, full-size candy bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They got so much candy, and they had so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really great job of just going up to the door themselves and saying trick-or-treat, trying to remember to say thank you.
Yeah.
They did really good.
Yeah. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And we were in Monmouth. It was in one general, like, community neighborhood, and they were pretty nice, like, houses.
Mm-hmm.
And some houses gave out, like, big full-size chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Like Kit Kat, big-size Snickers, and it was pretty crazy to see that because when I was a kid, I never got that. It was always a fun size.
Right.
And but then to see a bowl full of full size, like M&Ms or Snickers, I was like, wow. So that was pretty crazy.
It was really good. And we pushed our 3-year-old in the stroller for like the majority of the time. But then for the last like half an hour or so, we went to a different area and she walked. And she actually did super well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been too much for her if she had been walking the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
But that was kind of a perfect amount for her to still experience it. And she did great. There were lots of like steps that she had to walk up and down to get to people's front doors. And I felt like by the end, she was very tired. It was dark. And she was also carrying her big full bucket. And I was so afraid she was going to fall so many times.
I was expecting for her to fall, but she didn't.
No, she did good.
Yeah, and I was right there next to her just to make sure that she didn't, you know, if she did fall,
she'd
be okay. But no, she did fine. Yeah, so everybody had a good time, and they're eating their candy one day at a time, a couple candies at a time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely, like, worked for those. They definitely worked for those candies and earned them, so.
I know, the little one keeps asking us, she keeps saying, I want my bucket.
Oh, yeah. Her bucket.
I want my bucket.
A bucket of candy. Yeah.
One other thing that I was thinking about is, so we've been talking on the podcast for so long about moving. We've said it so many times. Like, well, when we move to California, we are moving to California, blah, blah, blah. But it actually is getting closer. Mm-hmm. And like, really going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you, what are like your plans? Because I know you have plans as far as any like last minute decluttering, any sort of minimalist practices that you want to take into the moving process.
Oh, like apply it for the moving like time?
Like, yeah. Like okay. I know that you already are like thinking and planning ahead of like what you want to do. So I wanted to just see if you wanted to share anything.
Yeah, I am pretty excited to move. Like a friend of mine said that two of the most stressful times in your life is your wedding day and moving day.
Who said that?
My friend, Jeremy.
Oh.
And I think I believe that. I think that, I mean, I'm not sure if it's the most stressful because we talked about a wedding day. It wasn't really stressful.
Yeah.
Like, I think planning it and the build up to it was a little bit.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we moved states, which is a lot. And, and it's cool to say that we moved
yeah
far and it's pretty crazy. And it was a little hard, like, getting here, I was just so tired, and then we had to unload everything.
Oh, I remember that day.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
It was very hard because the next day we had to return we rented a U-Haul.
And we were pretty much by ourselves, right, for the unpacking, unloading process?
That was it. Yeah, it was just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am looking forward to it now that we've sat down before and looked at certain things, like the big furniture things, and talked through it, like, okay, what are the things that are coming with us and what are the things that we want to sell or donate?
Yeah.
And so we've done Project 333, mm-hmm. and we've done the 30-day minimalism challenge.
Decluttering, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty helpful. I think that from those two challenges, I think that we're going to have less things, mm-hmm. and we're going to get, we have slowly also just beyond those challenges, we've gone rid of certain things, and I'm going to apply those things for the moving process.
Yeah.
And I think making a list and making maybe three lists, one list with things that we're going to bring with us, one things that we're going to get rid of, donate, one things that were some stuff that we're going to throw away. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last one, four things, possibly sell.
Yeah.
I was reading that Spark Joy book that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and it talks about like cleaning versus decluttering.
Yeah.
And they're different things. Like when you clean, you shouldn't be decluttering at the same time. Like you should declutter. Decluttering should be dedicated its own time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think that as we clean, we'll clean, and then decluttering, it's something that I'm excited to do and just kind of dedicate like some time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another thing that the author talks about that in that book is to declutter by categories, not by room. So that
Which is very interesting.
Yeah. So yeah. If you want to maybe focus on like clothing, okay, let's look at all the clothing in the whole house, not just in one single room.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's really easy, like if you're, I mean, I'm trying to think of something that you would have spread out around the house. I guess things like, I don't know, there's just certain things, I guess, that you might have, like, oh, I have a few of them here, but I also keep a few upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to look at just like one pile and think like, oh, well, I want to make sure I have enough, but then you mm-hmm. don't realize that you have more of those in another location.
Right.
So that does make sense. Yeah.
Like clothing, we have clothes in our room and clothes in the kids' room.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so there's that. So I think that slowly we're starting to do that and look at things and put things on the side and pack and everything. So yeah, I am looking forward to it. And hopefully I would want it on the moving day, that morning when we leave, whenever that is, for that to be as stress-free as possible,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it is going to be physically straining, but as far as like knowing what, or like, I think it's pretty cool because like we're moving and we're intentionally bringing all these things with us, expecting that we're going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that should be a big, we should really consider that and think about like, okay, what are the things that we really want and
yeah.
what are the things that we don't want anymore
yeah.
that we should just get rid of? Because one, like, it's going to be harder physically, like, for us to pick those things up and put them in the truck.
Yeah.
And then two is it will save money as well. Like,
it would
depend, right? Like how big or how small the U-Haul will be.
Oh,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to get a smaller, my theory is that we're going to get a smaller U-Haul than the one we
used. I would think so. Yeah.
You know,
I hope so. Yeah. I think, I'm really excited for it too. Like just the decluttering process of I think when you're moving, like there's no way to just leave like that one drawer or that one corner of the closet that you kind of are like, oh, I'll get to that later. It's like you have to go through everything. I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to, like if you have like a box or a bin or something, it's easy to just like throw that in the moving truck. But I think for us, our process is going to be like literally going through everything, every
yeah.
piece of paper, everything and seeing like, okay, if we don't need it or we don't love it, then it's not coming.
Yeah, and I don't care like how big or small the thing is. Like if it's literally like maybe 10 pages of
yeah.
whatever, it's like, do I really want this or need this?
Right.
Because like it adds up.
It does.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. One thing that I was just reminded of when you were talking that I want to share, and I'm not sure if this is going to make sense, but I'm going to share it.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I've like, I don't know, like a discovery, I guess, that I made years ago, like maybe like 5 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And it recently kind of was coming back to my mind. And this is something that I've discovered through practicing yoga. I don't think you have any idea what I'm going to say, do you?
I don't think so.
So I have been practicing yoga on and off for like, I don't know, 6 years or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy it. And I just practice at home through like a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I think I've gained a lot from it.
Yeah.
One thing in particular that this yoga instructor says often when she's, you know, running the class is she'll talk about finding places to ground and places to rise. And so she'll talk about like when you're standing in like a certain pose to make sure that you're grounding down through like your shoulder blades and your feet and make sure that you're really grounding yourself, but then also through like the front body, you need to be rising, like your chest should be rising up and like your head should be like rising up towards the sky. And so she talks about how like that balance is really important. And years ago, I really found a lot of value from that as like a metaphor in a way to go beyond just like the physical, like grounding and rising, but thinking about how I think there's a lot of value to finding places in our life that we can really ground into and like build a firm foundation in, and that allows these like quote unquote like places to rise of like just more freedom and like enjoyment. And so it reminded me of that when you were talking about minimalism and about moving and stuff is like, that just really resonates with me, the idea of like grounding ourselves in the idea and like the framework of minimalism. It creates a lot more freedom in like other areas of our life to not have like the stress of like clutter and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I am somebody who really, I really value freedom and like flexibility and things like that. And just being able to like go slow and stuff like that. Yeah. And I've found that like, if that's the only thing I'm focused on, though, it doesn't really work because you can't always be just like flexible, go with the flow. And like, you have to have some places where you are like being disciplined and like grounding yourself in certain things. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. You definitely need, I guess, order, structure, but at the same time, you need the freedom.
Yeah.
And you got to learn how to balance those two things.
Exactly. And I think they feed each other.
Yeah.
Because you can't have just everything, at least for me, some people are different, but everything in my life can't be like completely disciplined all the time or it drives me crazy. I feel stuck in that. But then if I try to just be constantly like, oh, I'm just going to like go with how I'm feeling that day, then that doesn't work either, because then I end up super overwhelmed by all these things that I should have been doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
I just thought about that while you were talking and I decided to share it.
No, that's good. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you shared that. Yeah, I think it's important to apply that in our life. And as we're talking about like the physical things, like I think that that does apply to that, because we're thinking about moving all these objects and putting them somewhere else, you know, and as you were talking, I was thinking about that, the whole thing idea about like saving money as well. Like, I think that doesn't just apply to the U-Haul, the size of it, but also applies to the new home. You know, you might think that, well, because I have all these things, objects and stuff, and that means I need a bigger house, you know, to put all those things back in there. But in our case, it's that, well, we really want to consider each object and see whether that would, if it's something that we need, love, want, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that once we kind of figure those things out and put them back into that, the, this new home, I think that, yeah, I think we want to make it and have our new home be a place where there's that order, structure, but sometimes we have the liberty, like, just to be roam around and not step around stuff.
True. Sometimes it's like physical freedom.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking too. It's like you also want to have peace there, you know? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I remember when I first kind of was thinking about that idea of like the structure and the freedom, I was, it was when I was living by myself and I was working, you know, like 9-to-5 job. And I hated the mornings because I would always feel so rushed and like I couldn't, I was always so stressed because I was always like either running late or like almost running late. And I would get so stressed and traffic was bad. And so I was always so stressed about that. And I was kind of realizing like, if I could just ground myself in like being a little bit more structured of like making sure I'm getting up at a good time, making sure I'm going to bed at a good time, making sure that certain things are in place, that like all my dishes aren't dirty in the morning, then that would allow me to have that like slow, peaceful, not stressed out morning that I was wanting.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily ever succeed in doing that for a long time, but it was just kind of this idea of like, oh yeah, there's some benefit to like both things, you know?
That's good.
So, but yeah, all that to say, I'm really excited about moving. And also, I don't think that we're thinking that we're speaking this from like a place of having figured it all out or like, this is what you guys should do, but just more of like, this is just what we're learning and trying to figure out. And we definitely are still learning a ton of stuff.
Right. Totally. Yeah. All right. Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
So today we're talking about representation in kids TV. Mm-hmm. We actually, the way that we're doing this episode is back on, I think it was episode 28 or something. It was quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. We talked about our favorite TV shows growing up.
We did, yeah.
That was really fun.
Wow, that was way back.
I know.
It seems like it was like a month ago.
Right. So I went to go look back for that like outline and I saw that how long ago it was. And so what I did was I went back to that outline and I found both of our lists of TV shows we watched when we were kids. Uh-huh. We're going to take a look at those TV shows through the eyes of thinking about representation.
Yeah.
And so talking about representation of different races, different skin colors, different body types, even different, you know, abilities, things like that. So that's going to be the first part of the episode. Then we're going to talk about, we're going to reflect on it a little bit. And then we're going to talk about the TV shows that we see available to our kids today and try to see, okay, like, is there more representation now than there was when we were kids? We would like to hope and think that there is. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So here's my list. And then if Savannah, if you have anything that the same one, just go ahead and
I'll chime in.
Yeah. All right. So the first one is Arthur. And I believe that we both
watch Arthur,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Arthur, they're all aardvarks and
they're not all aardvarks. They're all animals,
And all the other animals.
They're personified animals. Yeah. It's a humanoid.
And then some are clearly like, okay, this one, because of the fur or the hair is white or brown, you could say that there was some, I guess, representation based on that those facts that.
Yeah, Arthur's an interesting one to start with, but it was just the first one on your list. But yeah, it's like they weren't supposed to look like people, but in a way they are.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting because I was almost not going to include that one on the list at all because it's like, well, they're not really people, but you could kind of see, I think that there was a little bit of maybe thought put into that, that some of them do have darker, like...
Darker, like
fur.
Fur.
Or skin tones, you know? Than others. So it was just kind of an interesting note. Yeah. But yeah, that one was kind of on the border of like, should we include this or not?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Then the next one is Boomafoo.
Yeah, which I did not watch growing up.
It was two dudes, white dudes, and it was this like puppet lemur.
Okay.
But the main hosts were two white guys. And they talked about just facts about this animal and maybe let's help this animal or like...
Was it all about animals?
Yeah, it was all about animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Because I was imagining for some reason that it was about reading, but that was Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
Which I also didn't really watch, so...
Yeah, and Reading Rainbow is actually one on my list that I would briefly watch because I think it would show up like early in the morning before my school, like on a school day. And so, yeah, I think I could told you that like when we talked about the TV shows that I had a kind of like a schedule where I would turn on the TV in the morning.
Yeah.
And once this one show like was on, that meant like, hey, that it's time for me to go. It was pretty much the TV show, the TV was my clock.
Yeah.
You know, my timer. And I think at one point I would see Ring Rainbow like pretty early, like maybe the last like 20 minutes of it because it was it would show up like pretty early.
Oh, okay.
And the main host was black.
Yeah.
And it was this adult and he would read books to you.
Okay.
And yeah, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. The next one is Barney and we both have that, right?
That was one of both of our favorite shows. Yeah.
And then there was a lot of representation there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think that they did a pretty good job of having a fairly diverse like group of children.
Yeah, and it was for children too, so that was great to have a kid or boy and girl that looked like you.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, totally. Yeah. So this is a kids' show, and having like child actors on there.
Yeah.
Who people could see themselves in.
Yeah. So the next one is Magic School Bus.
Mm-hmm.
We both watched this show, right?
Yes.
And with that one, the main character is, I guess, Miss Frizzle, right?
Well, that's debatable.
You think the kids?
I don't know. I would say it's one of those shows that there isn't like a main character. I think that
it's all divided, right?
It's pretty divided, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bit of
it's like there's an Asian girl. There's Carlos, right?
Yeah, there's Carlos.
He's Latino.
Mm-hmm. There's two black children on there. Yeah.
Okay.
A boy and a girl. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there was Keisha, and then there was Tim, I think.
Tim. Okay.
I believe. So I could be wrong about that, right. But I'm pretty sure.
I can picture them now.
I feel like it's one of those things where like it's still the classroom was still majority white.
White. Yeah.
But there was some representation there.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
I think it was a good show, and
mm-hmm.
I like that. So the next one is Dexter's Laboratory, and yeah, it was majority white.
Mm-hmm.
It was this little kid who was super like smart and would create things in his laboratory, and Dee Dee was the sister and would cause mayhem and stuff. So there was no representation there at all. And mainly as we're going down the list here, we're kind of focusing on like the main characters or like side characters, you know,
not like a
character where it shows up like on one episode and leaves and that, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, we might mention if there's like a minor or like supporting character.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're kind of focusing on like the main cast of the show.
Yeah. The next one is Johnny Bravo, and it was majority white. The main Johnny Bravo guy was white. So there was no representation there. Rugrats, there was one minor character who was black, and this character would show up every other like four episodes or so.
Okay.
And then eventually in later seasons, there was a baby that showed up, and I think she was Asian, and that's about it. It was majority white babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had Chucky who had red hair.
Oh yeah.
And everybody else.
I'm not familiar with Rugrats at all, so no. I'm just like going along with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think there was not really a lot of representation there except for those two characters I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hey Arnold, the main character, Arnold is white, everybody is white, and then his best friend is black. And then outside of that, I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was just kind of the show was kind of like some friends hanging out, and there's just a lot of buildings, like apartments next to each other, and there's a lot of kids at play outside and on the street and stuff. And and there was just one black kid and that I could think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wild Thornberries. This is a Nickelodeon show, and they were, I think, Australian.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and there was no other like people of color in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocket Power. It was these kids. I think they were all like tan looking. Like they were out in like maybe San Diego or somewhere.
Tan looking?
Yeah. They were pretty like.
I said tan looking at first.
Oh, no. They were all white, but they were out in the sun. That's why they had a little darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all white. I'm trying to think about there's someone else. No, I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that show at all.
Okay. The Amanda Show, that one, we try to break it down and look at like who, like of the main characters was.
Oh, yeah, I was going to Google color. That one.
Oh, are you okay? I can't think of a character.
I mean, obviously the main character is Amanda Bynes.
Yeah. Which she's white. As you look for that, I'll go down my list here. iCarly, we both watched this show as a kids.
Yeah. iCarly was one that I was surprised when I was thinking about it, how like that's a more recent show. Like we watched that as like middle school,
yeah.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised to realize how like, oh yeah, that show, like there's really no representation of different races, body types, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was just surprised by that. But yeah, I'm looking at the Amanda Show cast and it looks like there's one person of color.
Yeah. And I didn't mention the list that I have, it's a cartoon and we'll have action. And so, yeah, we're looking at like all the options and stuff.
Yeah.
And looking at here. And yeah. And then so iCarly, there was no representation there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Jimmy Neutron as a cartoon.
Very little.
Very little. I think Shane was Latino. And then a minor character, a girl, she was black.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the main character was Jimmy Neutron and he was white.
Mm-hmm.
Nets Declassified School Survivor Guide.
This is one that was on my list as well.
Yeah.
The main character, we have the main character who's white.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his two best friends
yeah.
is black.
Yeah. I know there's another character, Ned's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The one that he had a big crush on.
Mm-hmm.
She's Latina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Drake and Josh show, that one we both watched, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were some supporting characters that were of color.
Yeah.
Like the owner of the theater, she was black, and who else?
I can't think of
anybody. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the which one was the one that would date a lot?
Drake.
I think a lot of the girlfriends or the people that he would date were sometimes of color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, as far as like the main like kind of supporting cast or the main characters, the majority was white.
Mm-hmm.
So Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dragon Ball Z have written down here. They are anime, and so they all are Asian. Yeah, that's something that I would watch in the mornings. And those anime shows come from the anime, like comic books, and that's the origins, and that comes from Asia, and it was cool to have those shows come to the U.S. and for us to watch these things. And so, yeah, I think I like them. They were pretty good.
Yeah. And so a lot of the characters in those shows are Asian. And then I think there's a little bit of representation of also other skin tones.
Yeah.
Or other skin colors.
Yeah. Yeah. X-Men. This is an animation show. There were some people of color in supporting characters, but the majority of like the group, it was this group of like people that have powers, and majority of them were white, except for maybe like Storm, she's black, and there was an Asian character, Jubilee. But yeah, I think majority was white.
Yeah.
The last one is Power Rangers, and there was some representation. We had a black character that was the black Power Ranger, and then we had an Asian character who was the yellow Power Ranger. And so I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's cool to have like representation, you know.
Yeah.
But for them to have those colors as their Power Ranger like outfit,
yeah.
Like I'm not sure about that.
Problematic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was like five Power Rangers. We got yellow, pink, red, blue, black, and then sometimes we get the white and the green to show up. It was played by the same character, but that's it. So like Power Rangers was a big hit for me, and I watched for years as a little kid. Yeah. And looking back at the list, there was not a lot of Latino like characters out there for me, you know, to relate to. There was, like I said, like looking back at this, like there was a handful of like black characters, a handful of Asian characters outside of like the anime cartoons, some Latinos out there, but majority of these, both cartoon and live action TV shows, they were majority white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I think looking at your list, and definitely the only live action show that had a person of color as a main character was Reading Rainbow.
Well, yeah.
On your list.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Also, I'm thinking about, yeah, like you said, with the representation of Latinos, I don't really see any aside from Carlos from the Magic School Bus.
Like, oh, yeah.
I don't really see any.
Mm-mm. Yeah. We might have missed some.
Yeah, we definitely might have missed some of like supporting characters.
Yeah, but as far as kind of like looking at the main like group of people,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I can't find anybody else outside of Carlos from Magic School Bus.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go down my list. A lot of them were the same, but I definitely have some others that you did not mention. So
yeah.
I mentioned Bobby's World, which was a cartoon.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a very popular one.
I watched it like maybe a couple times.
Yeah, and I don't remember a lot of it because I was very young when I watched it. But from what I can remember, the main family definitely was a white family. I also mentioned this was another show that I didn't watch a ton, but I just remember sometimes watching Gula Gula Island. And that actually, I believe, was a black family.
Okay.
I can't remember a lot of details from it. Again, I was very young. Yeah. But when I was looking it up, all of the main characters that I was seeing on it were black.
Okay.
The TV show Zoom from PBS Kids, again, that was one. It's super hard to describe if you haven't seen it, but it's just like all these kids. It was live action, and these kids did like experiments and stuff. It was kind of similar to like Bill Nye style.
Okay.
Which I think was also on PBS Kids.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that, but it was a bunch of kids. And there was definitely some representation a little bit in that show. The next one I have is Out of the Box, which great representation on that show. Both of the main characters were people of color.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, it's similar to Barney where they have like kids come in.
Okay.
And I was looking at some pictures, like some screenshots from the show, and it seemed like the children that were on the show, there also was a pretty good amount of like diversity there as well.
Yeah. That's good.
Did you know that Out of the Box has become like, I think it's gained like new popularity like through TikTok.
Really?
I think. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, the Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch was not on when I was a kid. I watched reruns of it as a kid, though. It was a much older show, obviously. And I don't remember really any representation in that show except for maybe like a minor character who was on like an episode, like one episode. Okay, I Love Lucy. Again, much older show, but I watched it a ton as a kid. And so from what I can remember, so you have Desi Arnaz playing Ricky Ricardo, which I think was really awesome. And, you know, he also has like a thick accent, which you, I don't think, heard a lot on television. It still don't hear a lot on television. And like there were times when, you know, he spoke in Spanish. And I think that there were certain things about it that were problematic as far as him being kind of represented as this like hot-headed Cuban.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some like stereotyping that went on there, especially with the time, you know, when it came out, that wouldn't really be okay and shouldn't have been okay at the time for him to be being stereotyped. But having him be in this like leading position on this super popular TV show is great. But the thing that I was noticing is how I think, as far as I remember, everybody else on the show was always white. And so that's kind of interesting, you know, like white American. I don't remember seeing a lot of any other diversity on the show.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. But oh, I have The Suite Life of Zack and Cody on here. There were some supporting characters on there who were people of color.
Right. Yeah.
Hannah Montana, again, definitely majority white with a little bit of representation in some supporting characters. Phil of the Future, same thing. Some supporting characters, but the main characters were white. Strange Days at Blake Holsey High. Again, not a super popular show, but we loved it, me and my brothers. Strange Days at Blake Holsey High and Flight 29 Down. Actually, I'll mention those two together. I think they were on the same channel around the same time.
Yeah.
And they were both shows that were the main characters. It was kind of a group of kids.
Yeah.
And both of them did have a bit of representation. Corbin Bleu was one of the stars of Flight 29 Down. You might know him from High School Musical. And then in Strange Days at Lake Halsey High also, there were a couple or from what I can remember, I didn't go back and look at the show, but from what I can remember, that, like I said, a group of kids were the main characters. And I think that there was one black person there. And then in Flight 29 Down, there were a couple people of color I can think of who were in like that group.
Yeah.
And then the last one I have on my list is Big Time Rush. That was from Nickelodeon. And you and I were having a debate about whether Big Time Rush. So if you don't know what it is, it's about these four guys who are a singing group.
Yeah.
They move from Minnesota to Los Angeles to become like stars, basically. And we were having a debate on whether all four of them are the main characters or if one of them is more of a main character than the others. And I believe that they were all four equally main characters. But you think that one of them was more of a main character than the others.
Yeah, yeah. If you also just think about like the movie that they had, and I think the big plot is that what I think is the main character, he is the big. He plays a big part in the plot.
Okay, I don't really remember much of the movie.
And I think it's about like, getting the girl or something like that.
Yeah, and that's James, right? That's how you think it's
the main character. I think so, yeah.
But all that to say that on Big Time Rush, I think there was like a little bit of representation in the main characters, but I'm, again, thinking, I feel like a lot of the also supporting characters and side characters and things were mostly all white.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the end of our list. So now I think we wanted to just kind of talk about that a little bit and reflect on it. So on my list, I'm seeing four or five, basically like five or six shows that had people of color as main characters. And then the rest of them, which I didn't do my whole list because I didn't include the ones that that you also had. But
I had four. I had four out of, I think, 23 shows that I talked about, and then out of those I have four shows that are that have the main characters are people of color.
Yeah, and I think only one of those was live action though.
Yeah
And on my list I have 18 shows, and I have five shows that have a person of color as a main character.
Five for me if you include the Magic School Bus, I guess.
Right, but still, yeah. But mine, actually, all of them that had a person of color, they were all live action. Anyway, so let's just talk about that a little bit of kind of like our experience watching those shows growing up.
Yeah.
And I'll share mine first because I think it's pretty quick.
Okay, go ahead.
And that's basically that I didn't think about it. And I saw myself, for the most part, you know, represented on these TV shows. I think the only thing I will say is that I think body diversity is an important topic as well.
Yeah.
And we're not getting into that as much on this episode, mostly because there really wasn't any. Like, as we were going through those, I can't think of any kind of body diversity in main characters. And so that was, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of is like, I definitely did not see my body represented in main characters when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But as far as seeing diversity in skin color and in race, I did not really think about that. And I think as I'm just thinking about kids today, I think that for children who are white, I think it is really important for them to be seeing that diversity on TV, because I think it's so important for them to not just, especially if you are living growing up like I did in a predominantly white community, to not just assume because you're seeing, you know, a predominantly white community and then you're seeing predominantly white media, to just kind of assume that most of the world looks and talks like you do.
Yeah. I think, you know, I talked about this before, that how I was affected as a kid with the way I thought about myself, about my skin, and I thought that white was the better like skin tone. And I need to bring this up. Some of the shows we mentioned, like Ned's Declassified, Big Time Rush, I think even Magic School Bus, like they even though they did have the Latino representation there, assuming that they were playing a Latino character, that they were on the lighter side, like light brown, really light brown skin tone, which is great. Like, that's something that which is great. It's good to have like representation all across the board, like either if you're really light brown all the way to like medium brown and dark brown. You know, it's good to have a representation of all those skin tones, and not just like kind of defaulted to like, well, medium brown, you know. But but also there's a factor there where like, well, if you're seeing all these like light brown people, like light brown Mexicans, or light brown Latinos, either like that, they look really like close to like white skin, you know, then that message to me, how, when I saw that, those things, I'm like, well, I need to be lighter brown, mm-hmm. you know, so I could be kind of blend in with a with white skin tone.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know,
yeah.
people. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
And
yeah.
I think that is a big like problem, and that I saw as a young kid, like mm-hmm. that. Well, I can't be white if I choose to, but like, well, what could I do for my skin to be as light? As lighter of a brown than the skin tone that I have now, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I've talked about before that. Yeah. I did struggle with my identity. I wanted to be white because I saw, white actors and people on TV. And I thought, well, that is something that, like, it seems like if you talk that way, if you look that way, then that's the way to, that is kind of the way to live, you know? Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I did struggle with that, and I do find a big importance in like having representation of people of color on TV and of different like shades of your skin tone, mm-hmm. and especially dark skinned, just because I struggled with that as a kid. And I've come to realize, right, it did affect me that way. And we're going to get into it, like looking at the shows now, it did take a while for us to get here.
Yeah.
And I think that we still could do better, but I think that having these shows that we'll talk about in a minute, be shows that our kids watch, mm-hmm. and to see certain characters that look like them, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's cool to see that, and to see the our kids see they could see themselves in those main characters, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's very powerful. I think that really sends a message across that you could be this person, this main character. For example, let's say this main character is a superhero, that delivers a message to the kids watching that, who looks just like that, who is like a dark skinned person,
yeah,
saying, oh, I could be the superhero with this cape and do this and stuff, because like that is a real thing that happens, like that you start to kind of put yourself in that main character's like body and think like, oh yeah, you know, what's gonna happen with this main character and stuff, like if you kind of break down the science of like a movie, if you go to the theater and watch the movie, like there is that one main character or two main characters or whatever, that we see the plot through their eyes,
yeah,
and that we connect to the main character in that way,
right?
And then at the end of the movie, if we see the character die, the main character die, then we do feel something, because the direct, that's part of the how the movie is being directed, and the plot is being carried to, for you to care about the main character.
Yeah.
If you don't care about the main character, then you don't really have a movie.
Exactly.
You know, you need to care. You want the hero, the main character, to survive at the end of the movie. You yeah. know? So it is a big, it is real. It's not like something that I struggle with, and I realized that like it was real after talking to other people too, and realizing like, yeah, like having like someone that looks like me on a cartoon, on live action, is important to have.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. It's raining really hard, by the way. So if you guys can hear that, that's what that is. All of a sudden while you're talking, it started raining so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's really powerful, and really, I think, important to share.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting also what you brought up of how it sounds like even as a kid, when you did see Latinos being represented on TV, that they still didn't really look like you. Like,
no.
You still couldn't really see yourself
yeah.
in them, and you were still thinking like, okay, well, my skin is darker than that.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
So yeah, that's really, I think that's a really important point too, of representation and diversity needs to include all types of, you know, skin mm-hmm. colors. So I think with that, we'll move on to talking about the, like, what's available to kids now
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, I think we have come a long way.
Yeah.
And there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Still. But just thinking about, like, right now we have a younger child who's 3. Mm-hmm. And so she watches a lot of Disney Junior. And I've thought a lot about Disney Junior and how
yeah.
there's a lot more diversity to to be seen.
Yeah.
Now, which I think is huge, especially for, think about like toddlers and like preschoolers are watching this and like how impactful that could be.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about how they have, you know, on Disney Junior, they have like Doc McStuffins.
Yeah.
They have Elena, mm-hmm. who is a, like a Latina princess.
Yeah.
They have the new like Spider-Man show that they have on there includes Miles Morales, who mm-hmm. is a black character.
Mm-hmm. He's half black and half Latino.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
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 What else? I know there's other ones. Well, then beyond Disney Junior, like
Doc McStuffins.
Didn't I say that?
Yeah, I think you did.
And I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen Doc McStuffins in a while. I think her parents are actually an interracial couple.
Oh, nice.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. I think that her dad might be white or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's also another thing too, to like see that like on Toy Story 4 where the...
That's what I was going to say. I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
They're interracial couple, and they also seeing like that it's not just kind of like their figure is not just like here's a standard default skinny figure.
You know,
it's more like here's what?
Well, are you
here's
talking
a
about,
bigger what?
Sorry, are you talking about Bonnie's parents? I think both of the parents, or who was which one of the parents? We did notice like wow, there's some good like body representation.
Yeah.
Was it the mom also?
It was, yeah, someone, I don't know.
I can't remember, but we were like, oh, that's, you know, that's really awesome to see, like, just a bigger body being represented.
Yeah.
But I think it was actually just a, I think there was a scene in Toy Story 4 where there was, like, a child who was lost.
Mm.
Do you remember that? There was this little child. She was lost at, like, the fair. And then her parents came over to her and they were an interracial couple.
Yeah.
And I remember we like got excited about that. We're like, oh, that's so cool. Cause yeah. it was surprising to see, which yeah. is like unfortunate that it is surprising, but right. we were like, that's so cool to see that represented.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know like all the shows that are really popular with kids right now. We're only really basing this off of like what our kids watch.
Yeah.
And I know in the past, like our kids were huge fans of the show Lab Rats, which I think was a Disney Channel show, right?
Yeah, it was.
And there was definitely representation in the main characters on that show, which was really cool. And that's a live action one.
Mm-hmm.
Even just seeing in, I know this is diverging away from TV, but just seeing Disney coming out with like Coco and Luca and Moana and
Raya.
Yeah. And seeing our daughter like getting to, you know, identify with Raya and seeing like her skin color represented in that was really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot out there and it's pretty cool to see that like our kids enjoy those movies, enjoy those shows. I think it's pretty cool. Like I think one of our kids loves to watch American Dragon, Jake Long.
Yeah.
And that show has been around when we were, I think when our like brothers and sisters were young.
Yeah. My brothers definitely watched that.
Yeah. And I did too. And it's all predominantly like Asian family.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's also the interracial marriage there too.
The
dad's white and the mom is Asian.
You're right.
So yeah, I think it's pretty cool to see our kids just, you know, love these shows and to see themselves in certain characters and especially also the main characters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it's cool. One thing, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I just thought about this cause I knew there was another Disney Junior one I wanted to mention was Mira, the Royal Detective is a new show and that it represents, it's actually, I believe if I'm not mistaken, set in India.
Yeah,
and the little girl is Indian.
Yeah,
and it also is very representative of the culture because it's actually set in India, and that is something that I think has been needed for a long time. And so that's really cool to see. Like, oh, I can, you know, just turn this on for my little kid, and they're seeing just some diversity of just people who live differently than anything they've seen before.
Totally, yeah.
Also, okay, this is super random, but yesterday, as you know, our 3-year-old is very opinionated about what she wants to watch. And so I was like browsing on Disney Plus and she was going like, go down, that one. And so I didn't know what she was pointing to, but then I was like, this one? And so I put on this show for her that I've never seen before, and it, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's literally about this family.
Is it the dinosaur one?
Yes.
Yeah, like they're ranchers.
They're ranchers, and they, it's instead, a dinosaur ranch.
Yeah, instead of horses, they're riding horses and lassoing, you know, other wild animals out there. They're all dinosaurs.
Yes.
So they're riding dinosaurs.
So crazy. But did you notice the representation on that show?
Yeah, yeah.
So it took me a while to realize this, that those three kids are siblings.
Oh, nice.
And one of them is like super white complected, one of them is darker complected, and one of them is like white complected with dark hair. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I wasn't watching it super closely, to be honest.
Same here.
But they were also like speaking Spanish a little bit.
Oh, really?
Like one of the little boys, his name is Miguel.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a, you know, a more Latino sounding name. And super interesting. And because they were all, why I realized they were siblings is because they were all referring to their mom as Ma. They were all referring to her as that.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, these kids are siblings and they all have totally different skin tones. And so I'm not sure if it was, I think it was an interracial couple. I don't know. I wasn't paying that close attention, like I said. But I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
It was not a very high quality TV show at all. But she liked it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's another one that's really cool.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot, and this is just on Disney, and we're sticking with Disney because we know the most about that, and
you
know, Nickelodeon is also a big channel, and they're big channel, and there's a lot also representation there. As I was going through their website and looking at the shows that they have now, there's a lot of like main characters who are black or who are brown or mm-hmm. people of color, and so there's that, and yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on in. It's pretty good,
yeah.
You know, that's going on now and getting better.
Just one thing that I was thinking about also is the just having diversity in accents, the way that people are talking. Because I was when we were talking about the shows we watched as kids, I realized how the only character that didn't speak with like a very typical American accent was Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah,
that I could remember.
True. Yeah,
and that's something that I think is really important because
mm-hmm.
again, just going my own experience growing up in predominantly white communities was that I almost never heard people who spoke with accents,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's so important mm-hmm. to just realize that for kids to grow up realizing that people speak differently, like they speak different languages for one thing,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is so like that's so important. And
yeah,
and we've seen our own kids like grapple with that, like anyway, so just but yeah, just never really hearing people speak with accents growing up, you know, that's something that I've noticed more on TV mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. even like Handy Manny.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Handy Manny, like he does, when you look at him, like he has like pretty fair skin and you might not really know that he is Latino until you hear him talk.
Yeah,
and that's cool, you know,
mm-hmm.
to just hear. And actually yesterday we went and watched The Eternals.
We did,
and I was noticing how there was lots of different accents.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's very true.
In that movie.
Yeah, like European beyond that too, and also having a character who's deaf,
speaking sign language.
She spoke in ASL. Yeah, I think it's good. I think to kind of wrap it up, like I wanted to talk about Marvel a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that we talked about TV shows and we talked about the then and now of TV shows, but as far as like kind of movies and big blockbuster movies, I think that it's pretty cool to have kids like on my job, on our school that who are girls, who are kids of color, mm-hmm. and also have kids, white kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool that like I get to talk to them about Marvel and to talk about characters, and not just like white characters, but characters of color, and talk about the importance of just them. And I think it's cool to see kids being able to relate to main characters like Shang-Chi being an Asian American character, and having like in the Eternals movie, like there's like different people that they could relate to.
Yeah.
And other movies like, you know, that are coming out. And so I think it's pretty important to have those movies, these shows, because like these little eyes in these kids do see that, do realize, like, wait a minute, I could relate with this one character because of pretty much the main commonality is the skin tone, you know? And I talked about this before about the Marvel and having people of color in Marvel, how that's important. And then to see just upcoming movies with like Disney and with Marvel that are, we're going to see more representation and gender as well. Like see a female, like main character, female superheroes show up. And I think that's pretty cool. Like we're going to see Miss Marvel coming up on Disney Plus. She's a Middle Eastern girl and that grows up in the East Coast of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And her family is Middle Eastern, and so she's she becomes a superhero at a very young age too. And there's just two factors, like the that she's a girl and that she's, well, I guess three. She's a girl and she's young and that she is brown skinned.
Yeah.
And those three factors are pretty important because like now a female student of mine could like relate to that.
Yeah.
And one who is young as well, same age, and then one who's also like brown skin could also relate with that character. So there's really good stuff coming, and I think that we could still do better, right? Yeah. But I think that from the like 20 years ago or so, like to now, like I think that there's a big difference.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, like looking at the list that we have, like out of like 20 plus shows that we listed, like there was like literally a handful, like four or five main characters that were people of color.
Yeah.
I think as years go by, I think that we would be in that place of like, yeah, main characters are now like there's people of color in these main characters, you know? And so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want any kids to like deal with like the identity issues. It's really hard and does suck. Like it took me years to recover from that. And now I've been pretty good and confident in my identity and healed from this for years now. I don't deal with that anymore, but like I wouldn't want my kids or other kids out there to deal with that, you know? So yeah, I think representation is pretty good. And, it starts with just conversations, you know, obviously like things that we watch too is important too. But yeah, so I think we want to talk about this, since we did talk about like months ago, of our favorite TV shows and now we kind of want to break down like what we watched, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, like our role as parents and making sure that we are like diversifying what we're watching as a family.
Totally.
You know, what our children are watching and things like that. And just having it become like a natural part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Also because you want to do it in a way that I think is natural and that it is like intentional though. I don't know. I think I can hear the pushback from people thinking like, well, I'm not going to like make our family or my children like watch something just because like there's people of color on it. Like it's more important that it's like a good show or a good movie or whatever. But I think that has to be part of the conversation and part of the like the reasoning and part of the like intentionality behind it, because I think that the representation is so important.
Yeah.
And that this, you know, this isn't just for children of color, that this is a really important thing, I think, for white children as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody we have had here in our house, like 8 kids and different races.
Yeah.
White, brown, black. And I think it's important for anybody, you know, regardless of the skin to diversify their views, their life, and to look at things, you know, and have different characters, you know, being portrayed by different people of color, you know. And I think it's cool, beautiful to learn of other people's culture and language and values and stuff. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tying it back to, I guess, like Marvel, like I think that's probably something pretty cool that I've loved too, is just the learning about like not just the hero but their life and stuff, And like at the end of the day, if you think about that, like heroes and stuff, like it's all about identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the person behind that suit, the person behind that like awesome fancy mask and costume.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about identity. So like that's the main core of it. And that's why heroes are born and stuff, and that's why they're there for us to relate to connect to that hero. And so once we see that person that looks like us, or that we have a similar commonalities and stuff, I think that's how you could win that fan, you know, and mm-hmm. how that person becomes a fan of that show, that movie and stuff. And seeing that gives you like limitless possibilities to like what you could become and be influenced,
yeah.
you know, to do.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, so we're excited that we finally did. And I'm really excited about some episodes that we have coming up this month. Also, I'm super excited to talk about Project 333 because I have a lot to say about it. And also, on the last Monday of this month, on the 29th, we're going to be talking about the book, Talking Back to Purity Culture. So if you're still wanting to listen to it or read it before that episode, then do that now. It's a pretty quick read, so you could definitely do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so on the 29th, we're going to be talking about Talking Back to Purity Culture by Rachel Joy Welcher.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Pleathos, or you can email us at thepleathospodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you got anything out of this episode or enjoyed it, please share it with a friend.
Yeah.
And we'd appreciate it a lot.
And as T'Challa says, we all know the truth, but in times of crisis, the wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers.
See you next time. Welcome to week 5 of Napoleon Dynamite ASMR quotes.